The FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
My name is Jimmy Smith.
Where are you from, Jimmy? I know you...
Oh, okay. I knew it was in the first week we were going to do a different introduction, but I'm sorry. Jimmy Smith, jimmysmithtraining.com, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com, and from the other link that Kevin has in the FitCast notes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I gave you the responsibility. I gave you, Really, I went on a limb. I said you could introduce yourself for the show from now on, and this is what happens. But
sorry, I'll be better next week. I promise.
That's all right. Well, as you know, we have a special guest that's going to be coming up pretty soon, Alan Cosgrove. So stick around for that. But we're going to jump into the FitCast news, where we do have some pretty big news for you guys. And also, we have Jimmy's study review for this week. So, first off, let's jump into the news for this week. All right, first off, for the FitCast news, we are going to have a familiar voice on the show next week. Tony Gentilcore is going to join us, so we're not going to make too much of a fuss about it, but it is kind of cool to have Tony back on the show and just have him update us on really what's been going on at Crescent Performance and what he's been doing. And now it's always good to have Tony back on, and maybe I'll call him Jimmy. I don't know.
I'm sure you probably will. Are you doing okay without him? I know you guys kind of, you had a little thingy for him, and yep. I know he hasn't been on, so.
I know. I have to call him maybe once or twice a day just to hear his voice. But once...
It's really scary.
Once that happens, I am able to go on. But yeah, I'm sorry. He's going to be on the show next week, and if anyone does have any questions for Tony about what he's been doing, feel free to email to me at questions@thefitcast.com, and also you can send your mailbag questions that way as well. Next up, I just want to say hello and thank you to all the people that I met at Mike Boyle's seminar yesterday on Saturday. I actually got to meet about 8 or 9 FitCast listeners were there, which is really cool. I was actually surprised by how many people listened to the show, including we had some gents that came from Switzerland and from the UK, which is really cool. Nice to have those international listeners. And
We're big over there, man. We're big in the UK.
Really?
I don't know. I felt like saying that. I'm sorry.
Are we as big as... the guy from that show on Fox, what's that called? Jimmy, you should know this. The singing show. What's that singing show? Simon Cowell.
From Simon? Yeah.
Tangent. Anyways, again, it's really cool meeting fans of the show, and I'm sorry I didn't bring any t-shirts. I ended up having to drive up that morning, so I wasn't able to drive home and then drive to the seminar, if that makes sense, because I'm at my apartment at school. So again, thanks for talking to me. We had some good discussions, especially it was really interesting to get the take of someone from Switzerland who he was telling me that everything is like 5 years behind there in terms of kind of knowledge. Like they don't do foam rolling. And he said he was foam rolling one day and someone came up to him and said, what the hell are you doing? Like you look like you're rolling on a foam roller, which is weird. God, this show is starting off great.
I'm not saying a word, dude. It's all you.
I know. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Next up, we do have a new segment that's going to be coming to the FitCast, and I completely stole this from Anthony from the Strength Coach podcast. And basically, we got to talking. He was at the seminar, and we were the two podcast guys who were talking about podcasts, and he had a great idea that since I have the Skype phone-in number so people can call into the show if they don't have Skype headsets. They can just use a regular phone. And what I'm going to do is create a question, or I might even have some of the listeners create questions, send them to me, and I might make up a question and then send it out to 20 fitness professionals, like guests that we've had on the show and some people that we haven't had on the show. And what they would do is call into the Skype phone number, obviously, while I'm not on Skype, leave a voicemail on Skype, like about 2 minutes long, just answering a short answer to a question. And then I can edit all those together and make like a nice, I'm guessing obviously not everyone's going to call in, but if for the ones that remember, maybe we could have a nice 20 to 25 minute clip of getting 10, 15, 20 different perspectives on a question.
So you're going to have people call in. And they're going to say, how do I build big biceps? You're going to send it out to about 10, 15 fitness professionals.
Well, I'll just send it to the people now. I mean, I could definitely send it to like 40 different people.
Cool.
I mean, at least like that's just thinking off the top of my head, and they can just call in and be like, well, you know, one huge thing that we do with our clients to get, help them get bigger biceps, we have them do more pull-ups. I mean, something like that. And they, like, I think it could work out well. It's, for example, we could have Craig Ballantyne call in and just be like, hey, this is Craig Ballantyne from TurbulenceTraining.com, and this is my answer to the question, yada, 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 so on and so forth. And I can just cut all those up, edit them together, so it's one after another, bam, 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 and throw it into the show as a new segment. So it just gives us some more content. And really, the only work for me is just to edit the stuff together, which will only take, well, the only thing that's bad is that I'll have to re-record all their answers in real time. So I'll just have to sit there and record, play, record, play, and you know how that can go. But other than that, I mean, it's a lot of content for not that much work. So
no, it's not.
Huge props to Anthony for letting me steal that idea from him. And hopefully we're going to be doing some more cross-related stuff with the Strength Coach podcast in the future. So everyone should keep a lookout for that. And if you haven't been listening to it, like I said, I listen to Strength Coach podcast and I get a lot out of it. And especially, they just had one with Gray Cook. They did a whole episode just with Gray Cook. And I mean, that's, you can't go wrong. I know, Jimmy, you've seen Gray speak before, so.
Yep.
He's a brilliant guy. Or maybe we could get Gary Gray. We could just go up against and confuse everyone.
Just move on from the segment, man. You're confusing yourself today.
Yes, I am. So, Jimmy, I know you do have some news.
Oh, yes, I do. I do. It's concerning the Muscle Bible, the program that I've been highly touting for the past couple weeks here on the FitCast. It was all scheduled to launch on Monday, and then Thursday midday, I came up with a great idea to do it a little differently. My problem with all the, you know, audios that have either been fitness or are sports performance related is that they get a group of authors, of training experts, anywhere from 6 to 15, you know, and they either do them like a teleseminar or they just pre-record them, whatever, and then they say, here, buy all, you know, 15 of them, or buy all 10 of them, or whatever. And they leave the purchaser to have to, like, take everything that the experts say and use it all. You know, so if you have, you know, two nutritionists talking and they're both talking about the same topic, well, which part do you listen to? You know, like, and that's what I found about traditional, you know, fitness or sports performance audios. And even if they're all segmented by, like, individual topic, you're still left to have to decipher it for yourself and use it for yourself, and you're not given any guidance. The reason my product's not coming out on Monday is because what I did is for two reasons. A, I wanted to make it more affordable to everybody else because I really want to help as many people as possible and get all this great information into some people's hands. But B, I wanted to make it usable. You know, the whole thing about fitness industry products is they have to be usable. You have to be able to listen to John Berardi or listen to Paul Check talk and be able to use that information. You know, not everybody is a quote-unquote training expert. Not everybody is well-versed and reads all this stuff, and that's fine. So what I did is it's the first, and now I know the popular thing in the fitness industry now, and it seems like everybody's popping them up, is membership sites. You know, where you join X trainer's membership site and go from there. That's the complete opposite of what this is. It's actually a coaching program where you get the audios and then you get assistance, you know, each month. So, you know, you'll have the option of getting all, you know, 15, 14 audios if you want. But how it's set up is the majority of people to get a good chunk of the audios at a discounted price. And then they get coaching from me each month. You know, they get a program that is pulled out of that specific audio each month, or from specific audios each month. They get that individual program handed to them. So even if they don't want to, you know, for some reason listen to you know, Charles Staley's whole, you know, hour-long interview, they'll get the program that that audio talks about for them. They'll get guidance from the authors. There's a couple of authors are on board with me each month to help. And I mean, it's not a forum, it's not anything like that. What is it? It's a private coaching group, a private section for each person. They'll get an audio each month, they'll get bonuses each month, they'll get programs, they'll get private webinars, which are just online seminars with myself and some of the contributing experts to help guide them along. I personally never liked not being able to get the information, not having to physically pull the information out myself, because that's time consuming. Now, when you're getting an audio product, you want to be able to listen to it, but you want to be able to use it right away. So what I went and did was I went and said, okay, I'm going to chop this down a little bit. I'm going to make it a little more affordable for everybody can get it, so that everybody can, you know, can afford it, can use it. And then I'm also going to help people. I'm going to guide people through it. You know, we have over 30 days of muscle building programs for you to take to the gym with you that come with it. But at the same time, you also get that personal coaching each month from me and from some of the contributors. You know, I've talked to a couple of them, you know, this past weekend about it, and a lot of them are really excited because it's something that kind of hasn't been done in the fitness industry before. It's not a membership group. It's not, you know, anything else. What it is, you know, here's the audio, but here's how to use them. It's a little more practical. So, I mean, I think it's pretty cool, and that's why it's not coming out now until Thursday, because I had to redo some site design stuff and my webmaster's away, so there's a couple factors in there, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Jimmy, you're really a perfectionist, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I've kind of noticed that with you over the last couple years.
Well, the whole thing is I don't like putting anything out there with my name on it, Jimmy Smith, that's not 100% good. I mean, and there's so many, you know, and I even talk about this, you know, on the website. There's so many marketers, fitness trainers turned to pure marketers, that it's watering down the information. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's come to been, you know, how many muscle building programs can you buy that talk about how you should use insulin post workout with carbs, you know, to make yourself bigger? You know, and how many programs are out there that talk about, oh, lift heavy compound movements? Yes, that stuff might be true, but it just seems like people are just repeating themselves. You know, it seems like trainers have stopped educating themselves to help people and just to make money. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make a product that's out there that could help everybody. You know, I'm not going to lie. Initially, the product was going to sell for $97, like every other fitness audio. And I said, no, that's going to turn a lot of people off, because I'm not going to be able to help people. So what I did is I went back. I almost chopped the price in half, leaving a little slightly less than half, to give people more access. And then I wanted to have this coaching club feature where people every month, you know, get access to one of the features of open calling dates.
So how much is it? How much is just the...
I'm not going to drop that yet. I'm not going to drop that yet. I don't want to tell people. I give a little hint.
That's a lot of money to cut it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. And you know what? I was like, I don't want to do it. I want to help people. People get an open call-in day every month where they get a number that they
can
reach.
And by the way, as much as this sounds like me trying to make this in an infomercial, like, it's so cheap. I didn't know about this,
no,
so
cheap.
I'm kind of...
It's cheap. I just emailed Kevin the actual physical price of it that he's not going to say on air, but I chopped it down. I mean, you get Jason Ferrugia, you get John Berardi, Scott Abel, Chad Waterbury, Charles Staley, Paul Check, Justin Harris, Anthony Roberts, TC. I know there's a couple other people I'm leading off. I even give Bone. There's, you know, it's not one of those bonus heavy products. The whole thing, there are bonuses, there's some great bonuses, but the thing is, like, everything's segmented. You'll hear John Brody talk about something, you'll hear Chris Moore talk about something completely different. Because I want one of them to talk about one thing, and I want someone else to talk about something else, because they both can give fantastic information. Everything's segmented from point A of your workout to point Z. You know, it's just in an effort to kind of help people, and you get so, there's so many ways that I guide you along that you get the program, you listen to it, and then, well, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? You get so many helpful ways to take you from, and I actually guarantee if you don't put on 5 pounds of muscle, I will give you all your money back and some more. Like, I, if you don't get anything out of this product, then I don't really want your money. You know, I want people to, I want to help people. So that's enough out of me. You'll hear more, but, you know, Kevin will have the link to get on the priority notification list, which is going to get even a smaller discount. So yeah, that's what's happening.
Damn. Are you sure this is the right decision?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm just excited about being able to introduce this coaching program. I think I'm the first person in the fitness industry to actually do this. You know, everybody
cool,
else that says, you know, all right, join my membership group or you know, whatever. No, this is you getting me hand-holding you through it. And you, each month you get updates. Like, it's not, you don't just get the audio and you're left on your own. You get stuff to help you.
Cool. So, I didn't. Thanks for kind of surprising me with that. But
yeah, I didn't tell Kevin at all. I just told him. Kevin found out today when I sent the email out to the priority notification list saying, you know, it's not coming out yet. So Kevin just found out today too.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, you know what? This is something that I do want to bring up quickly. That I really would like some feedback from the audience about the new music and the new transitions, because I'm wondering if it's worth the extra 2 hours that it takes me to edit the show to kind of make it sound a little bit better. So if you don't mind, please send me an email, just letting me know what you think and if it sounds more professional. And you know what's great is that I'm going to be using sound effects in the show sometimes when warranted.
When warranted, cool. That'd be good. Little sound effects.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm excited about the new feature. I think the new feature would be cool.
Yeah, I think the new segment is going to be huge. I think that's going to be a big deal. I really do. God, Anthony, just I'm gonna have to talk to him some more about this. And like I said, I think we should get we should do something where we get like Anthony on the show. And I think we might do something going back and forth, just because I think both of our podcasts are really related, and I think they complement each other very well. But that's about it. And I know how I mentioned that I was just at Mike Boyle's seminar this weekend, where, let's see, we had John Paloff, Eric Cressy, Mike Boyle, Jash Patel, and Anthony Slater presented at his winter seminar. And I was going to talk about that this week, but I'm going to wait till next week when Tony's on the show and we can kind of have more of a discussion. Otherwise, it's just me talking to Jimmy about it. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to go. So, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Alan Cosgrove in just a minute, so stay right there. We'll be right back. Our guest this week is Alan Cosgrove. You probably know him from his programs like Afterburn and Afterburn 2. Also, he has a couple books out, The New Rules of Lifting, and also just recently, The New Rules of Lifting for Women. You can check out his website at alancosgrove.com, and you can check out his blog at alancosgrove.blogspot.com. And also, don't forget to check out liftstrong.com, where you can talk about the Liftstrong CD that we talk about in the interview. For $25, you can pick up a great CD full of articles, and it helps out a great cause. So please do that. Check it out at liftstrong.com. And without further ado, the interview with Alan Cosgrove. Well, Alan Cosgrove, it's a huge pleasure to have you back on the FitCast. First off, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Kevin. And Jimmy. Sorry, I forgot this too.
No, it's Kevin's show. I'm just here for the ride.
All right. Jimmy's being modest, but we did get a lot of feedback from the audience, and we have a good set of questions for you, and we might as well jump right into it. The first question is for me, because I know we have talked in the past a lot about how you're always doing more research. So it's been a while since we last talked to you on the FitCast, and I know you've You're always reading the latest research in the fitness and nutrition field. What has piqued your interest lately when it comes to studies? Anything that you think you will be able to take advantage of or try for yourself in the future?
There's rarely anything that changes my mind, you know. I think what I do notice is over time, you start to see things in the gym. Like, that's really my lab. Like, I see things happening in the gym, and then I go to the research to try and see if what the mechanisms are, and then I look for ways to magnify things. So I saw some studies a while ago, and granted they were on aerobic exercise, but it was showing that maybe EPOC is not as big as we first thought. So maybe that I've hypothesized that the reason afterburn programs and that type of training works so well is because it magnifies EPOC. And this study came out, and again, it was on aerobic exercise, so you have to extrapolate a wee bit. And it was showing that maybe it's not as big as we thought. But what it didn't change is that these programs work. So it's kind of like if we found out that the process of which we think electricity works, that's not true. Well, you'd still turn the switch off and on the light would go on, right? So we would just have to figure out the mechanism by which it works is maybe different than we originally thought. And once we find out what that mechanism is, because maybe it's an increase in, you know, fat-burning enzymes or a change in hormones or something, but the end result remains the same. So if the mechanism by which it works is different, if we could find out more about that, that would be interesting to me. So things like that interest me. There's been a lot of stuff over the last year, really, on omega-3s. I mean, if you put in omega-3s or fish oil into PubMed and then any other phrase you want, you can pretty much find some studies. And there's some studies showing that just adding fish oil to the diet, it reduces body fat independent of exercise. And no one really knows why that is, you know? So maybe there's something there that we can look at in the future too. So nothing that really has changed my mind, just, you know, a greater understanding of what we've seen to work.
That actually, when you're talking, it brought up something that I was thinking about that, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I was at Mike Bowles' seminar, and he actually talked about aerobic training and mostly endurance athletes. And he started talking about intervals and how he sets up the work-to-rest ratio by using heart rate and not just a standard 2-to-1, like a 30 and 60 seconds. Do you use heart rate monitors with your clients?
Yeah. Okay. If I'm working with people one-on-one, there's a phrase that Paul Robbins from Athletes Performance came up with called true intervals, whereas the concept was we normally do, you want to go a minute hard and then 2 minutes easy. So that's typically what you'd program. But what we're really meaning is a minute at X heart rate and then 2 minutes at Y heart rate. So the intervals may take you 30 seconds to get your heart rate up and another minute before you get it down. And you'll see some people doing intervals, and if you monitored their heart rate through the whole thing, if you just did it by time, their heart rate never really changes that much because they never recover. So the best way to do it is to say, hey, we're going to go a minute hard and 2 minutes easy, but you program the heart rate, and then you say as many rounds as you can get in 20 minutes. Because some people will get maybe two rounds because it takes forever for their heart rate to come down. You know, that they're not. And other people, we've seen it. I think Mike talked about, he had his ice hockey guys doing, it was 8 30-second sprints.
That's exactly the example he brought up.
And one guy was done in like 4 minutes. His heart rate was just dropping and going again, which other guys were, you know, that workout was taking them a whole lot longer because their heart rate wasn't responding. So it's just when you get into training and you start saying, all right, do a set of 10 squats, and then you get a little more advanced, you're like, all right, I want 10 squats, but I want a 2-second pause at the bottom, and I want a minute rest. You're starting to really micromanage everything. But with cardio, we've always tended to just go, all right, 20 minutes, or 1 minute hard, 2 minutes easy, or 30 seconds hard, a minute easy. So taking the heart rate actually makes it just a little more exact. It logistically, it becomes a wee bit harder because you're not you can't say, right, you're going to do five rounds because you don't know how long it's going to take for the heart rate to come down. But I think what Mike did, he came up with a hybrid that rather than have 2 minutes at a low heart rate, he was doing it as soon as your heart rate hits under 120, you go again.
Yeah.
So I've been playing with that a little bit, which is better for the athletes. For the fat loss clients, it seems to be better to say, all right, once your heart rate hits under 130, I want you to maintain that for 2 minutes before you go, and then you put it back up again. And it's just there's constantly trial and error is probably the wrong phrase, but I'm constantly experimenting with little tweaks to see if I can, you know, find the answer to all of the problems in the fitness industry. So I think that if you have heart rate monitors available, and you've got to use the monitors because the stuff on the cardio equipment isn't as accurate, and it gets a little bit invasive when you've got to hold on to handles and things. So, but if you're going to have that kind of data, you're an idiot not to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of Rachel's training for her Ironman triathlon was heart rate controlled. You know, the workouts were based on, it wasn't revolutions per minute or a mileage, it was X minutes at X heart rate. And it that was quite successful.
All right, Jim, you have the next question for us.
Yeah, the next question is from Ryan. He says, "Hi, Alan. I love your training
programs. Hi, Ryan.
And I know that for fat loss, you seem to recommend higher reps and low rest periods. But what's your opinion on those who say you must lift heavy to keep the muscle when dieting and let cardio and nutrition strip off fat? Thanks a lot."
All right, Ryan obviously doesn't know me very well because my opinion of those is I don't even know who they are. And I never ever really respond to critics, but I'll answer it the way he wants it answered, I suppose. Last year I taught a seminar called Real World Fat Loss, and I taught it about maybe 12 times over the course of the year, and every one I present a bunch of before and after pictures of our clients, so there's the evidence of what we do with our program, and I back it up with a ton of scientific references that supports my point of view. So if I've said this at every seminar, if people out there have better before and after pictures, or more of them than I have, backed up with more scientific evidence than I've got, I'd love to see it. Because we're both wrong, right? If we're both doing radically different things and getting great results, the answer's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I've yet to see anyone come up to me with a different method backed up with just as much research. I mean, what I do works. I don't have any agenda other than getting people in shape. That's how I pay my bills, so I would change it. But a couple of things that he said there, I've scribbled down notes there. High reps, our average rep is about 8 to 10, and maybe a little higher with beginners, but the average of the Afterburn program that we sell is about 12 reps. Afterburn 2 is probably closer to 10, so I don't know how high that is. I do have higher phases, but I also have lower phases. But in my blog, I covered there are some studies out there showing muscle growth on 15 rep workouts and 800 calories a day with large scale weight loss. So I don't know where this idea that you lose muscle is coming from if your program's not completely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really seen that. But the other thing is, when I'm talking about fat loss programs, I believe you go after fat loss with 100% focus, and that's your focus. It's not a program for an athlete and trying to get fat off them. It's not a program for a bodybuilder. It's fat loss specific program. Fat loss is the sole goal. So there's some studies out there, and my photographic memory's kicking in a wee bit. There's one that's on my blog that compares 3 sets of 6 heavy to 3 sets of 12 on a circuit, and the sets of 12 were at 60% rep max, I believe, and the circuit burned more calories and had a higher EPOC than the heavier routine. So it would create a better fat loss effect. So I suppose I haven't really seen all this muscle loss that those people talk about. And those people, I'd like to see their clients in their before and after pictures, and they can demonstrate the flaws in what I'm doing for me. I'm an open book. I'd love to see what other people are doing. But I mean, you guys have seen my presentation. everything I say is backed up with as much evidence as I can support. Yeah. And anybody who wants to come and debate that with me, I'd love to see it. But you got to come with the same evidence that I've brought to the table. And, you know, show me the studies that are showing people doing fat loss circuit training and they're just losing pounds of muscle. They don't exist. And we don't see clients in our gym losing tons of muscle. And again, the phrase that Ryan used, I think, was that you use you must lift heavy to keep the muscle. I'm like, a lot of people haven't lifted ever when they want to lose fat. So with a lot of beginners, doing sets of 100 is good enough. And the whole muscle loss thing, I just think, is junk anyway, because cyclists do thousands and thousands of reps on their bike and their quads are freaking huge. So I don't... They would, if that was the logic, that those lightweight, high-rep workouts didn't maintain the muscle, those guys would have tiny little legs. And we all know that anecdotally, that's just not the case. So, thanks, Ryan.
Well put. The next question comes from Mark. Can you talk about how you design programs for athletes? I'm interested in the philosophy more than the exercises. Maybe a program design DVD or manual geared towards advanced programs and athletic programming. I'd like to see some educational resources dedicated to the training of athletes. And it says, thanks, keep up the great work. And I don't know if he's seen your program design Bible, but that's where I'd send him first. But I'll let you answer the question.
Can you see some stuff? No, you can't. Thank you.
Next question.
The reason I don't... I'm actually going to do a DVD series this summer, and the tentative title is Building Better Athletes, but it's going to be aimed more at the high school athlete, because the market in this area in Santa Clara is huge. So it's going to be something that... So I will have a product, but there's also guys out there that just have, you know... excellent stuff that I don't feel I don't have enough of an ego to, you know. Eric and Mike did the Building the Efficient Athlete series, which was great. I think that's a great series. Joe DeFranco's got some good stuff, you know. Robert Dosimidios, Mike Boyle, all these guys, Mark Verstegen, there's enough stuff out there that's close to what I do that I don't think there's room in the market for another product. So I'd probably send you in those directions, but I'll give you what I do with people is number one, you evaluate the athlete, and I don't even care what sport they're doing at this point. A perfect example is in any sport, if speed is a requirement or if males consistently do better performances than females, then strength will be useful. So we know that improving strength of that athlete is going to have a good carryover. So if your athlete can't do, you know, 5 chin-ups or a good set of push-ups, then this is where you start. You don't need to get any more scientific. You just need to get them stronger. So that's where I'm looking for. If you're, I use Gray Cook's functional movement screen. I'm looking for asymmetries left and right. I'm just looking for things in that person themselves before I even look at the sport. And then I look at the sport as my step two, and I look at the strength requirements and the energy systems of the sport. So if, for example, you have a judo athlete, I'm saying this because I had a judo athlete on Friday, if they come in, we know that there's a lot of data on the strength levels of elite judo competitors, and you can compare your athlete to what those standards are. And you can see that if you can't bench press your body weight for 5 reps as a female judo athlete, you're unlikely to be successful. So we need to get that strength. So you can look at the strength requirements and the energy system requirements of the sport, and your program starts to shape. But the hierarchy of that athlete's own individual differences is going to take priority. And the last thing is you have to look at the weird sort of specific requirements of the sport. A great example that I've always used is I worked with a lot of figure skaters in the past, and if you're going to, figure skating involves a lot of plyometric work, right? So traditionally, if you program plyometrics, you start with it, and Mike Boyle has a great DVD series on it. You start by jumping with 2 feet forward over like mini hurdles or something. But the easiest jump in figure skating takes off from a single foot backwards, involves rotation, and then you land on an eighth of an inch metal blade on ice. So it's a completely different plyometric requirement than you would traditionally think of. You know, you're looking at these 9-year-old kids, and remember in the past there was you had to be able to squat double your body weight before you were supposed to do plyos or something like that, remember? Everybody kept saying, I can't remember who said it, but there was some sort of poundage you should be able to squat before you were allowed to do plyometrics. Well, there's not a single figure skater in the Olympics that could hit those numbers, and they all do plyometrics on a rock hard surface. So there's some specifics, but basically it's evaluate the athlete to start with, look at the specific requirements of the sport itself, and look for anything that may be unique to the sport. And all the time you're going to compare the athlete to what the norms are for the industry. I mean, norms are for the sport. If you're the average, you know, professional boxer can't bench press their body weight, then you pursuing that number may not be a efficient use of training time, because there's been people successful without having that number. So you're on track, you know. Does that answer the question, Mark? I hope it does, because I'm not saying anything else.
That's it.
A damn good answer. But Luke Lamb has the next question. He says, "Hi, Alan. I've been helping my brother train for MMA fights, but I can't get him to give up steady-state cardio on the bike or treadmill. Do you ever use steady-state cardio with your fighters? Why or why not? And what else do you use to get them ready for a fight?"
Okay. Thank you, Luke, for your question. I can't imagine why sitting on a bike would ever help you in a fight. But there we are. So I rarely program steady-state cardio with these guys, because the sport is anaerobic. It's basically, if you look at a round, it's typically the ability to go very hard for short periods of time with short recovery periods and repeat. So it's based on the ability to go hard with incomplete recovery, which is anaerobic. You training the ability to go slow for long periods of time won't help at all for that. But I put in, you sometimes need to, we were talking before we started recording, that you sometimes need to do extra aerobic work, perhaps as a recovery workout, or if you have a fighter who needs to make weight, and you know, maybe an extra 40 minutes of just turning the pedals over will help burn up a few calories and allow them to eat a little bit more and make weight. So these things are useful, but I can't. If you look at the energy system scientifically, you're not going to improve your ability to work at max intensity by improving your ability to work at a very low intensity. It doesn't make any sense. You know, and the other argument was, if you trained your aerobic system, you'd be able to recover faster. Well, that makes no sense in reality either, because I don't think my ability to recover from hard work is dependent upon my ability to do slow work. It never seems to match. So that doesn't make any sense. So with the conditioning stuff, which is where this question is headed, I tend to do more interval work, but we do use, I think that the problem with pure cardiovascular training is it only improves the cardio system. You need to, with time issues with fighters, you need to maybe work on, you know, you could do like a sandbag circuit or a complexes or like a strongman medley type thing, where you're getting the cardiovascular effect, but you can also work on strength and certain movement patterns. So I would do the interval training and the cardio, the energy system training, I guess, is the cool phrase nowadays. I would do that based more with, you know, strongman stuff and some different implements as opposed to. I think the future of cardio actually is going to be that way, that it'll be more like timed sets and density work for metabolic purposes, as opposed to just putting someone on a treadmill. I think we can still get the heart rate benefits without actually having to just do, you know, cardiovascular work. So I would do more complexes, sandbag stuff, and you know, you need to work the local muscular fatigue with MMA guys, because sometimes there was one on last week, and most of the fight they were in an isometric position against the cage, and they're really struggling against each other, but they're not moving a whole lot, but their heart rates are through the roof because of the amount of pressure that they're producing isometrically. So you've got to look at all these things too. So you're not going to see me putting a fighter just sitting on a bike doing steady state. I don't think it transfers, and I don't think it's a good use of training time.
That's a good point. We have one more question. I recently heard from Coach Dose about a new DVD you guys put out. Can you talk about what the DVD covers and who it is for? And I remember Dose, he teased this last time he was on, but he never really talked about it.
Well, this is one of these things that kind of tying in with, I think it was Mark's question, program design DVD about athletes, is I taught last year for Perform Better. I taught the Real World Fat Loss Seminar, and also as a practical, I taught a bodyweight class. And the original idea was just to do some bodyweight exercises, but on the three-day events, it got so big, I couldn't give people sets and reps. I had so many in the room, so we were doing a lot of more metabolic work. But I got so many emails and phone calls and people asking me, do you have a DVD with the more metabolic stuff on it? And I didn't. So what we did is Doss and I and Rachel did a, called it Metabolic Acceleration. So essentially it's a cardio training DVD, but we didn't use any cardio equipment. We used all strength training equipment. So we covered timed sets, density training, complexes, some Tabata work, and some stuff we call finishers, which is just beat the heck out of somebody at the end of a session, that I comes from my competitive martial arts days. So it's available on my website, and if you go to my blog, there's a link to it. But it's, who is it aimed at? I tend to aim everything that I do at trainers, so I don't do it's not like a workout that you would put in and do it alongside it, like, I know there's some good kettlebell DVDs out there where it's a workout on the tape and you just follow along doing the workout. This is not it. I demonstrate the exercise, and usually I get those to demonstrate the exercise because I have a better accent for doing the commentary, and we just throw together, here's some of the stuff we're doing, and each of the sections we're just showing that, like a little 5-minute section of metabolic work you can do, so you can add it into any training session you're doing, or you could structure a workout out of these 5-minute zones. So it's aimed at the trainer, and I think it would be metabolic acceleration training is the phrase we came up with. The other phrase that we're looking at using was cardio strength training and strength cardio training, but it didn't make sense when you read it.
Yeah.
So this is more, best I could describe it as you're doing the cardiovascular and metabolic work with resistance training implements, and we're using various loading parameters to set that up. So it was one of the harder DVDs to shoot because I think I did a Tabata of front squats and push presses in there, and we shoot everything live. There's no rehearsing at Results Fitness. You just show up and you gotta go. And it was, we're at the end of the day, you realize we shot this in one day that you just trashed. Funny story is, when we shot the bodyweight DVD, the complex DVD, I demonstrated everything on one side. Like, I did right leg lunges the whole thing. And for a week, I was walking with a limp. I had 1,000 reps on one side of my body and nothing on the other side. So, that's the newest thing we have. I have a few projects in the work, but I'm very efficient with my time, which is a politically correct phrase for being lazy as all hell. So we'll see what this year.
And last but not least, I know we talked, it seems like almost a year ago now, when LiftStrong came out. Could you just give us an update on that?
Last year we released LiftStrong in about April, and Jimmy was one of the authors who very graciously contributed a chapter to the book. And the proceeds are all going to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, an organization that's very dear to me because I'm alive because of them. So last year I didn't get the final number from my accountant yet, but it was over 50,000 we raised, which is, considering it came out the last week in April, that's a significant amount of money we raised. It obviously, it opens with a bang. I think we did like 20,000 the first 2 months, and then it's trickled down. But so I might have to launch Lift Strong 2 or do something. It's 800. If you printed it out into a manual, it'd be over 800 pages, and there's a lot of good stuff there. So if you're listening to this interview, you would, don't buy my Metabolic Acceleration DVD. Go buy the Lift Strong CD. There's more stuff in it. It's cheaper, and all the money goes to charity. And we would, there's the difference between curing cancer and not curing cancer, quite simply, is coming down to money. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's not a lack of people wanting to work. We need more money, and the money is sourced primarily from donations. And this is, if you get one thing out of this DVD with 800 pages, if you get one thing that improves your training, I mean, surely that's worth the $29 donation. So I'd appreciate anybody who's listening if they could pick one up.
Absolutely. We'll have the link for that on the fitcast.com. We tried to do, Alan, you probably remember me talking, emailing you back and forth, and we tried to raise some money as well. We didn't quite raise that much. But I mean, it's definitely
it's one of these things that if everybody who read my blog on a weekly basis gave $1, I think we'd have done $1 million last year. Like, if you look at the numbers of people that read your last Teen Nation article, Jimmy, if every one of them gave $1, would have been $1,000,001.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Wasn't that high?
But we would go, it's not going to require anybody to make a big donation. It requires everybody to make a small donation. And it's very exciting how much we did, but it was going into it, and I knew how many people had read the interview that, or listened to the interview that Chris Sugar did with me on T Nation, and read the promotion piece that Dave Tate wrote on Elite Fitness, and we probably got about 5% of those people who bought it. That's quite sad, you know. And you've taken the time to listen to something I've said, and you've made a decision at the end of it that you don't want to help. And I understand that everybody's financially different, but if everybody had given $1, we'd have been over $1 million, which is quite insane when you think about it. You know, that it takes that little from everybody to make a huge difference.
And you think about it, it's hard to imagine that these people don't know at least one person who's been affected, and hopefully we won't in the future. They won't know someone in their lifetime. I hope they never have to.
That's true. But we got every one of the guys who wrote an article for the CD, none of them asked me for money. You know, they all did it free of charge, and they all promoted it to the list, and that's great. And, just every one of those guys has written articles that you've read. You know, like, if each of those authors was worth $1 donation from you, we would have made a lot of money. So it's like I said, it always sounds like a sales pitch, but no one makes any money off of this other than the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So it's just a straight up donation. If you don't want to send it to me, just send it straight to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and then email me the receipt, and I'll send you out a CD anyway. So it's one of these things that I think that we have a big reach in the fitness industry, and we could do, there's guys on internet forums and magazines bitching about whether you should do, a bicep workout or not. And you're like, there's a local kid here dying because his medical insurance doesn't cover his cancer treatment. That was in the newspapers recently. And you're like, what? You're like, where did we lose our priorities,
Sure. I actually have a question for you, Alan. What books are you reading now? Because you talk about books a lot in your blog and some pretty good reads. I bought the majority of them. So what's on your plate right now?
I got 18 books for Christmas, which is quite fun. There's a guy, I want to say his name, I think his name is Richard Templer, and he wrote a series of books called The Rules. There's like The Rules of Life, The Rules of Work, The Rules of Wealth. So I got that series there, and they're really fun, short reads. This week, I also got the autobiography of Gordon Ramsay. I don't know if you've seen him. He's like a Scottish chef who just goes into kitchens
probably
and yells at people.
One of the best shows on BBC America. If you live in America or if you're in England, watch Kitchen Nightmares. It's a fantastic
Kitchen
show.
Nightmares. I want to do that for gyms, that I'll go around gyms and personal training businesses and help them, and I'll curse as much as he does. And share.
That's what we need you to do that. Just set up a video podcast.
Osgrove's Gym Nightmares, and I'll go around and tell people. I would have an absolute ball.
I'll watch
So I think that I read business books a lot, and I read training books that people send me. But I think if you read the biographies or autobiographies of successful people, you can get a massive education, and they're usually very fun to read. So I'm reading his. I'm reading the books by, I think it's Richard Templer, called The Rules. And when I was growing up in Scotland, there was this hypnotist called Paul McKenna. He used to have this fun show on TV where he hypnotized people and made them do wacky stuff. So when I was home in December, I was in a bookshop, and he had like 5 number one books in Europe. It became like a self-help and motivation guy. So he has a bunch of books out called like I Can Make You Rich, I Can Improve Your Confidence, and every one of them comes with a CD with hypnosis on it. So I got a bunch of those to. I think the psychology of training was still not really touching it. I mean, is there anybody out there, if I tell them which is better for you, fried chicken or grilled chicken, we'll get that question wrong? Is there anybody that thinks Snickers bars are a good fat loss food? Like, everybody knows what to eat, right? But they chose to eat something different. So I think there's something there about human psychology that fascinates me. So that's what I'm reading right now. And of course, Flex magazine. You can't ever miss an issue of Flex.
Every month.
Yeah, so that's my book things. Valerie Waters sent me her Red Carpet Ready book, which is excellent. And Juan Carlos Santana sent me his new book, Midlife Makeover, which is a DVD set and a manual, which is really good. So I think the phrase that I use most is people that don't read are getting the same education as people that can't read. So there's just no excuse for not reading. So that's the stuff I'm going after now. My interest has kind of moved into the sort of human psychology side of things for right now. So it's a lot of fun. And Gordon Ramsay's book is funny as hell.
I'm going to have to look for that. I'm going to see if I can get it. I mean, it'd probably be hilarious to listen to it on audiobook. If he can do that, I mean, that would just be gold.
I think there's one where he does it on the American Kitchen Nightmares, and he pulls the head chef aside, and he's like, you know, I have to tell you, I have never, ever, ever, ever met someone that I believe in as little as you. And I was dying. You've seen the guy's face. He's just what's interesting is when he goes into those kitchens, a lot of the chefs and owners are really resistant to what he has to say. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about one of the richest, most successful chefs in the field who tells you to change something. You should just change. I don't know why you're debating them, you know?
That's why it's such a great show.
Oh, good show.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the interview, and for just to let everyone know, we're going to have links for everything that we talked about, including link for Livestrong. It's just livestrong.com. So
yep.
That's pretty simple.
And Lance Armstrong stole the Livestrong thing from me first. So it's kind of like Livestrong, but Liftstrong instead. I came up with it before Lance did, so I don't want to. That's a joke, by the way.
And
just in case.
just in case they weren't getting it through audio. But also, we'll have links for, of course, alancosgrove.com, and you can check out his blog at alancosgrove.blogspot.com. And like we had Cass on the show a couple weeks ago, you got a new book out, New Rules of Lifting for Women, so people should be checking that out as well. So
yeah, forgot about that book. Yeah, I'm reading that as well.
It's a good read. Everyone should check it out. And again, Mr. Cosgrove, it's a huge pleasure to get you back on the show anytime we can. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Well, we will be right back after a short break. And again, thanks to Mr. Cosgrove. And don't worry, we'll be right back. All right, we're back with Jimmy Smith for his incredibly amazing segment, Jimmy's Study Review.
Just stop, okay? my study review here talks about citrulline boosts metabolic health. It's like we all know that, you know, the NO, the nitric oxide products, are pretty popular now. And, you know, basically the body makes nitric oxide from oxygen and amino acids, arginine and glutamine. So a lot of companies are starting to sell them now. But the body also makes NO from a non-essential amino acid. It's called citrulline, and you'll see it in a lot of products, citrulline malate. Recently, French researchers found that depletion of glutamine reduced blood citrulline, and then oral citrulline increased blood citrulline levels and arginine availability. So more or less what this means is that citrulline may play an important role in terms of maximizing the blood vessel control and metabolic health. That's an American Journal of Physiology, gastrointestinal liver physiology. That was came out the last time the journal came out. Sorry, I'm stuttering here. But yeah, basically all that is again is that citrulline malate helps to kind of open up your blood vessels, extend your workout a little bit more. I use citrulline malate within during my workouts, and I definitely do notice decreases. Different from beta alanine, you know, because I know people have read a beta alanine articles and know that there's citrulline.
Is the jury still out on beta alanine?
No. If the jury's still out, the jury's dumb. But the jury shouldn't still be out. No.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a good supplement. You had something else you wanted to bring up, though, right, Kev?
Actually, I did. Do you eat pork rinds?
No, but I just bought organic beef jerky, if that matters to anybody.
Well, I tried pork rinds for the first time today.
Yep.
Not bad.
No, I got a question for you real quick. What are you doing about next week's show? Because it's your Patriots, my Giants, Super Bowl Sunday. There ain't no way in hell.
I don't know. That was like Fox
Sports.
Are you
trying to beat Fox? Dude, don't beat
Fox. No, that was Fox News. Fox. No, not Fox News. That's.
Hey, somebody took the thing I posted on my blog yesterday, the Rocky Balboa thing, and they put it on YouTube. Eric is a listener of the show, and I said I want props.
What did you put about Rocky Balboa on YouTube?
It was in Cosgrove about 4 months ago. It was his speech to his son. A very inspiring. I saw Rambo on Friday night.
I heard it was horrible.
Dude, I liked it. You know what? It was typical Rambo. He cuts dude's head off, cuts dude's foot off. I mean, I liked it. I liked it better than Rocky Balboa, let's put it that way. I mean, Stallone's forearms were absolutely enormous there.
Dude, he was on steroids.
I don't care, dude. I don't care about that. Like, I mean, that's not my point.
His face looked like someone beat the shit out of him. He got plastic surgery. He got the shit kicked out of him again.
Dude, everybody does a lot of stuff like that.
But his face just looks, I mean, even compared to Rocky Balboa, his face looks horrible.
Let's talk about next week, though. What are we going to do?
For next week, for all the listeners out there that are keen in knowing what we're going to do, we're going to have a show next week. What we're going to do instead is we're going to record. Do you have plans for the Super Bowl?
Oh, actually, I do. I'm going to a Super Bowl party, so. What time does the Super Bowl start, by the way?
Like 7:30? Well, not well, like 8 o'clock.
Damn.
Why?
No, nothing. I have to be up early the next day. I'm hoping I may get
out.
The
game's never over till like 11:30.
I know. And since I mean, I didn't care if it was the Packers. Because it's the Giants, like I want to watch the whole game because they're going to end the Patriots' road to perfection. All right. Keep laughing, dude.
Brady's not hurt. But anyways, I think, do you want to maybe record something on Friday night? I'll email Tony, I'll email Jen, yeah, and see if we can get together on Friday night or on Saturday.
Cool. Try to get Keith. I mean, why not try to get the whole gang back together for
get
one?
Get the band back together? I think we
I actually got an email from Keith. Keith has been MIA.
He's alive?
Yeah, Keith has some good stuff going on, he told me in his email.
Dude, Keith is extremely busy, man. He's all over the place. He's doing some good stuff, though.
Yeah. He told me he's got some stuff going on, so... You know, but yeah. So I'm gonna get out of here though, Kev. I need to eat. I haven't eaten in about an hour and a half now, and body weight's down to 247.
Nice. You know. Oh, you can hear that clapping in the background from the sound effects that I put into the show. You have the audience clapping.
All right, bro. I'm signing off. Be good for the Fit Cast.
Do you want to finish the show?
I'll finish it.
Okay, I'm gonna pass over all the domain rights to you. You can handle the editing.
And the big money you make every month on your affiliate sales. So
I don't make any money on affiliate sales. Dude, by the way, you can check out turbulencetraining.com at thefitcast.com, and if you buy it through us, it helps the cause. But you know what? As Jimmy said, he has nap time coming up, so we're going to wrap up this episode for episode number 82. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith. Stay classy. Fitcast. I wanted to say it. I just saw Anchorman again, like yesterday. So, I'm sorry.
And Jimmy just ruined the show. So we'll see you next week, where hopefully we'll have a good show. But, I mean, it was a great show. We had Alan Cosgrove on, so hope you all enjoyed that.
For Christ's sake.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Hope you enjoy the extra editing that I do, the love that I put into the show for all you out there. So,
peace.
See you next time. Take care, everyone.